Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick Prokosik from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts.
Wow.
Trent, we got a packed house.
We do have a packed house.
I'm a little nervous, I got to be honest.
We finally have some entrepreneurs in the room. Goodness gracious.
Been 8 years.
I mean, dang. Some success.
That's it. I don't understand.
So, and you're returning criminals? No, I'm kidding. These ladies founded Furnish for Good.
Yeah.
Local charity does so good. I'm going to leave it at that. That's it.
So we're not supposed to talk for the rest of the segment?
No, we're going to talk about some other crap.
I want to know what Illinois Central is on your coffee mug.
Fortnite. So a guy named R.S. Buzz Jackson, old school tile guy, been doing tile in Charlotte with Reed Harkey for like 40 or 50 years. Did a lot of work for Roby back in the day. He's a gnarly old fella. He's a good friend of mine. And when it came, he's older gentleman now, and we demand a lot over at the Roby family and how we produce jobs. So he doesn't work for our company anymore. And when we decided to renovate our house, though, Reagan was going to manage it, and we weren't on a strict timeline. So Buzz got to do our house, and it was very special. So Buzz asked me and my son Ford to go with him and his grandson up to Asheville to a toy train show. So we did that, and
yeah,
I bought this coffee mug.
There you go.
Because I know a lot about trains.
They go choo choo.
Nah, it's more about spending time with Buzz and his grandson and my son. So thank you, Buzz. So I bought two coffee mugs. I carry my porcelain mug around. I don't like to drink out of metal. And definitely don't like to drink out of styrofoam, so I break one about every 2 weeks. But I broke the other one. It was actually cooler. It had a picture of a train on it. Might have said Lionel or something. I don't know.
I hear you. All right, so it's also like 1:30 in the afternoon. You're drinking coffee.
Who did we have in here that builds trains? Ken Pursley. Right?
I think he did talk about trains.
Didn't he talk about trains
as a
child?
Yeah, and I told you about my toy train that my parents have saved in a box, and my daughter wanted to keep it, found it. We dug it out of the attic and set it up this past Christmas. We did talk about that.
I mean, I think people to build train, I mean, they're very intricate. So it's a unique hobby that I'm not getting into.
I'll
go admire and chew the cud for a few minutes.
With the shark teeth.
And leave. It's kind of like I take Ford. I go to the 50 Years Farm Progress Tractor Show up in Illinois with some guys from church. Shout out to y'all. I know y'all are listening on the way to church. And we've done that. I've done that 4 or 5 times. It's every other year. And last year I took Ford, and it'll come again this year. So Ford's all excited.
That's great.
It's in August. So, yeah. I know zero about tractors.
But after 4 years, you think you get some knowledge, like Case IH, John Deere. You're getting grand.
I'm trying not to learn stuff.
Okay, all right.
I know something about a Bobcat and a jackhammer and an Electrolux vacuum. And my head in a cabinet. That's what I know about. That's why I can't hear.
All right. So. One other thing to talk to you about. What happened to your Carolina Tar Heels basketball?
Wow,
I'm going there.
They might. This airs on Sunday. They might be NCAA champions by the time this airs.
Yeah. I got to set you up there. Who gets further, Clemson or North Carolina in the ACC basketball?
I mean, you want to put a little wager on it?
Absolutely.
In the ACC tournament NCAA tournament?
I don't think either of us are getting to the NCAA.
Getting to the tournament?
I don't think we're going to get there.
Oh, we're Carolina. They're going to just let us in.
That's what they do with us in football. So it's basketball.
I just
want to
remind
thing.
You that last year,
you're right.
We were no good, probably no good, worse than we are now. But we did beat Duke that last game at Cameron.
Mike Krzyzewski's last game.
And
that was
lucky,
wonderful.
And then we went on a run.
Yep.
And we were up 22 points at halftime or something like that in the championship
the
game.
The Jayhawks, gotcha.
And we choked. But
it's all right.
I like Hubert. God rest his soul. I don't know.
Two and done.
I wanted him to make it. No, I just wanted him to make it. I know. But the deal is, when they hung Dean in effigy 30, 40 years ago, social media wasn't rampant like it is today. I think it's so sad. I mean, last night at dinner, we were talking about our poor kids. They're going to have a hard time having a party at the house when we go to the beach and they're 17 or 18.
You can't do
number
that.
Number one, we got cameras. And then I said, I even made a comment. I said, man, maybe we overlooked the cameras for about a week. You know, I mean, maybe that's what I want to be. Like my dad laying on the couch upstairs when me and my five knucklehead buddies were down in the basement. You know, just as long as they're there, we're cool. So we might check the cameras, just make sure they're at the house. But the problem is you can't do that now because where they can get themselves in trouble on social media and somebody's going to take a picture.
It's everywhere.
It's terrible.
I mean, we have it.
It's really sad.
We have to have this conversation about our employees at work, right? I mean, you have to always assume that you're on camera, no matter what.
It's so sad.
No matter what.
It really is. I mean, because at the end of the day, we're all human and
that's
we're
it.
All flawed and you're going to make mistakes. And for somebody trying to get you and take you down and ruin your livelihood and your credibility because you're human and you make a mistake is not the way it should be.
So, preach on.
That's my opinion of it.
I like
what do y'all
it.
Think, ladies?
I'm getting some mixed looks over here, trying to
but
opinion.
You know it's all for profit. They can make money on that internet type stuff. We were talking about that last night. I had a computer. I went to college from 96 to 2000, UNC Chapel Hill, and I had an Acer computer, which was the cheapest mainframe bulky computer you could have. And these other kids in my suite were getting on the internet. And I'm internet?
Yeah. Wait, so you're a little.
I got a floppy disk.
You're a little older than me. We had a digital camera that could hold 16 pictures. That's all.
Because I had a floppy disk, and I did my Excel spreadsheets and my Word documents on my disk. I go to the library and print those.
The big one or the little guy? You remember they were like a 5.5 inch and a 3.25 inch?
It was somewhere in between. Oh, Lord, I've come a long way. You want to see my phone?
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to hear what's going on. I think there's some exciting growth and changes in the Furnish for Good world. Hear what these dynamic ladies have been doing.
Yep.
When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick Mikosik from Roby Commercial Services. Along with Trent Haston from the Robia family of companies, we are your hosts. Trent, they're already laughing at us. I don't know what we've done, but it must not be good.
We're having fun is what we're doing, man. On a Tuesday, we usually only have fun on Fridays, ladies. The Tuesday shows are typically very boring. So,
not with us.
How are y'all doing? So let me get this right. We have Leslie.
Here.
Priscilla. And Mary Beth.
Yeah.
I get all that right.
Yeah, good job.
And this is your second time being on the show.
Yes.
And fourth year for Furnish for Good.
Yes.
I hear you. Well, cool. Well, why don't you, one of you ladies, give us a rundown on the mission and the founding, just to bring everybody back up to speed on this great charity that y'all so entrepreneurially started out of midair.
Well, you should see us all pointing at each other. I say, you do it. No, you do it. We really do love talking about Furnish for Good, but sometimes when we're on the mic, we get a little nervous. But what we say is what we do is nothing new, but how we do it is. And that's what we founded 4 years ago is Furnish for Good. And it's really a dignified, unique way for our neighbors in Charlotte to choose their home furnishings when they're transitioning out of homelessness or other dire situations. And like y'all said, we started in 2019. And a lot has changed in the last 4 years for all of us. It's been really, really exciting, really hard work, a lot of growth, but it's all been really just a great process for our neighbors in Charlotte to have such an awesome experience to furnish their homes.
Well that too. I mean, you started out in one location in a storage facility, if I remember correct, and you've recently moved, right?
Yes, we started in Morningstar storage facility off of North College Street, and we were on the fifth floor. We had a great view, but it was, a lot of work getting furniture and all the furnishings up five floors to display. Our clients would come in and look at the items, and then we'd take it all back downstairs and then out to their new places. But we are now off of Clanton Road. We've got almost 10,000 square feet.
And yeah, it's beautiful.
It's one story. We have our own bathrooms. We have running water. We have an alarm system. It's A loading dock. It's amazing. And we have two trucks right now. So it's been a great last 4 years. And I think that if we had known what we were getting into 4 years ago, I don't know if we could have done it. But we didn't know what we were doing, and it worked out perfect. And we've had a lot of supporters. And Andrew Roby's been amazing to us. You guys have been supporting us since basically day one. And you continue to support us with our largest fundraiser of the year, which is Furnished. And we are so grateful.
Well, yeah, I went to the new space, and it, I mean, what a difference. The old space was awesome, too, but the logistics seemed really difficult, and you really don't think about it until you're in it. I remember the first time I went over there, one of y'all had been to the Snoop Dogg concert the night before, which was cool, and Snoop Dogg's coming back to Charlotte, just side note. But it was, I think you all put us together. I was with a mutual friend of Leslie and I's, Matt Daniel. And you thought about it. It was a cool view. It was a great spot. But logistics with loading and unloading, going up that amount of stairs and elevator was tough. And so when I went to your new space, the loading dock has got to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And the bathrooms.
Yeah, and we tripled our rent. So it's one. A lot of people will be like, well, wait, you know, why'd you wait so long to move? You know, and I said, well, our rent tripled. And so we do have a huge expense that we have incurred since we moved in November. But it is well worth it. And the loading dock, the bathrooms, you know, being on the first floor is life-changing for us.
And you're in the business park off of I have not been there, but it's the business park if you are headed south on 77, cross over Clanton, headed back towards South Boulevard on the left.
Yes.
Is that right?
We are two doors down from a karate school. Yes.
Cha-cha!
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. So you said something a second ago, Mary Beth, which is a true entrepreneurial, I mean, it's the heart of entrepreneurism, and I feel the same way when I came in my tried to destroy this great 50-year business that my father and grandfather had founded, or Mr. Roby had founded, and they had worked so hard to keep going, is if you knew what you know now, it would have scared you so bad you wouldn't have done what you did.
It's true. I mean, like, I think that we three are women that wanted to work with people that were trying to better their lives and their worlds, and we fell into this, and it's answered all of everything that we've wanted to do. But it's been hard, but we've learned so much, and we really wouldn't change anything. But it's been a really great journey.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, I went to the old space. I was unable to come to your grand opening a couple weeks ago. I was out of town. But it's so empowering. I mean, you go into this space, and even your fundraiser, Furnished, that you've done several years. I can't imagine when you're starting from ground zero to build a life and the ability to go in there and feel like, I mean, y'all have it decorated. Y'all have it. I mean, it's by designers really decorate this place. And it's really honestly polishing your diamond. You guys are fortunate. You're in the business world, and you have access. So it's like, how do I take my skill set and my access and my diamond and share it with the world to do better for the world? But I can't imagine coming from ground zero and trying every day to get courage to keep going and grow and not even know, just like you said about the entrepreneur thing of starting, where I can't even envision where my life's going to be. And I go into this place, and it empowered me. I'm like, man, I want to shop, you know? I mean, it's like the first time I ever went into a furniture store and thought I was going to buy some furniture. I don't think I bought it the first time. But it's the same feeling, but it's the same feeling on – it's like exponential of that. So I think that is so special. And I think y'all have done a wonderful job, as Buffett says, figure out what your assets are and polish your diamond to better the world. So, I don't know. So, now that you have this, when is Furnished?
Furnished is November 1st through 4th. We actually just had our kickoff meeting today with four designers who decided to be a part of it. We invite 10 Charlotte designers to be a part of Furnished. So, we have a great committee that's working on that. And one other thing I wanted to say about, like you were saying about just so empowering, is that we get caught now that we're, you know, we've been in this for 4 years. We do kind of forget, you know, a gentleman that came a couple of weeks ago, his name was Leonard, and his favorite piece was a leather chair. And when we got his survey back, it said, my favorite piece was the leather chair because I've never had a chair of my own. And he was 68 years old. And I was telling a group of fourth graders this story, and I said, you know, why do you think this was so special to him, this chair? And they, you know, they guessed. They said he liked the leather, he liked the color. And I was like, no, he had never, ever had his own chair. And this is Leonard's own chair. So we talk a lot about growth and, you know, bigger building and bathrooms, and but the main, the thing that we have to, you know, stay grounded with the organization and realize it's so simple. It is very, it can be a can opener. I mean, it can be a set of utensils, and it can be a leather chair that really makes a huge difference in these people's lives.
And it drives change forever that is exponential. Yeah. These folks get confidence, they find happiness, they go do good for other people, it passes on. I mean, the cyclical change is so impressive. I mean, I think I came from, I'm a redneck from the west side, from the river, right? I don't think I came from much, but when you reflect on it relatively, I came from so many exponential blessings. And speaking of the leather chair, my granddad, Glenn Haston, always had a leather chair in his living room, and then my father had a leather chair in his living room. Our rest of our furniture was not leather. So my wife helped me finish my basement out and made it a cabin, kind of my area, but I mean, it's the whole family's area. And I got to go, and this is like a year ago, go pick out a leather chair. And it just meant so much to me. So I can't imagine for Leonard, who's never even had his own chair, how important and empowering and how exciting that makes. I mean, think about it. He has a rough day. He goes home. He sits in that chair. It's so special. All right. Will y'all stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes.
Yes.
I want to know about all the fights y'all have. Because I know me and Patrick fight like dogs.
Oh, my God.
All right. We have Leslie, Priscilla, and Mary Beth, the founders of Furnish for Good. These ladies are leaders in our community. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. Trent, we have forgotten to tell people to do what? Go back and listen to the podcast if you missed the last few segments. And this time, you really need to go back because we had a really empowering second segment. We had a lot of fun on the first segment. And we're here with Furnish for Good. You can keep staring at me. You want to say something?
Well, since we have these three ladies in the studio, they're sharing the other two mics today. So you and I are sharing, and you and I have a problem with sharing. When you're around me, I can become stingy.
That is not true. I will reference my Venmo exported money over the last year, and we'll see where it goes. I think you're at 13 in a row and beating me in things when we bet.
I'm glad you bet like a dollar at a time. That's good. I don't have any guilt. So how many folks are on y'all's board? Do y'all have a board, or is this the board?
We do have a board. So in our first year, we started out with six individuals, mostly friends and family. And then currently, we have 10 people on our board. Because we've grown so much, we needed expertise, human resources. We've had to hire people. We have a gentleman who runs his own company, so hopefully he can help us run our business, which is, even though it's a nonprofit, it is a business. It's a true business now. And let's see. We've got a woman from LendingTree on there who's a facilities management person, which is she's great because she helped Leslie and us with our move. She was a huge help to Leslie.
Really?
Yeah. And let's see.
More women power.
We have.
Amen.
Yeah. So we've got two guys and the rest are women.
Well, a couple shows ago, we had Sarah Strayhouse on our show. She's our new digital marketing manager, amongst other things. And we were talking about how it's been so cool and empowering. You go into our office now, and literally half of our office is women, and it brings so much so much good to our business. Y'all are so smarter than us.
Nah.
I mean, see, I even said that wrong. My wife would have corrected me. Y'all can correct me if y'all want. But Doug Lebda is a good friend of mine who founded Lenny Tree, one of my dear friends. And he told me the other day he was going to come on the show. So he's a little hard to get to do stuff like that. But if you need me to hit him up and help y'all out, I hit him on the backside, maybe see what can happen. They can Lenny Tree come a little heavy.
Well, we're actually in their community impact grant. We received a community impact grant from them last year, which has been awesome. And I would say Lending Tree has been probably one of our biggest corporate supporters.
That is so cool to hear, right?
They have really, really helped us. A lot of other people have, but Lending Tree and Lowe's have been some amazing corporate partnerships.
I mean, these are businesses based out of Charlotte, empowering Charlotte, doing good in Charlotte, which is so special. So we started to talk about this before I hear about all the cat fights, and I mean every business, every relationship has fights, so we want to hear them. No, y'all have furnished coming up in, you said, in November.
Yes.
And the last time y'all were on the show, I think it was a year and a half ago, you were talking about furnished. Tell us about this event and how it's designed to raise money for your organization.
Furnished is so cool. So the idea started around the table, and it started as like the show Chopped. So what we decided to do was invite 10 local designers to use a couple of pieces of furniture that we would supply, so donated furniture from us, and they would couple it with their own furnishings, and then we provided a space for them to come in and design it. So they could wallpaper, they could paint, and then they would bring their own furnishings in and, you know, match it with ours, and then make these beautiful vignettes, and they could do anything they wanted to the first year. And then the way we raise money is through sponsorships, and then also through voting. So we have a cool site that you can go on and vote for your favorite vignette, which is really cool. And then we also do an online auction with the items that are donated from the designers.
I hear you.
Yeah,
and I'm sure it really helps your brand because you're drawing in the right audience that then wants to do other things to help you guys and get excited about doing other stuff.
Yes, we, you know, the design community in Charlotte, we knew there were a lot of designers in Charlotte, but I think, you know, this is year four. So technically will be 40 designers that have supported Furnished. And each year it gets more exciting and more, it's such a friendly design competition. And it's so fun to get, you know, 10 new Charlotte designers together that most likely don't know each other. And then they bond over this shared experience. And then a lot of friendships are built and for, you know, a really good cause. But it's also then you're in a relationship with these designers, and if they have clients that have furnishings they want to donate. I mean, it's just such a great partnership with the design community as well.
That is so cool. I mean, it's really the flywheel of growing the network, and honestly, it's the key to y'all's success and why y'all are now able to be in a new space that has triple the rent. Now y'all have to go raise more money, so now you have more pressure. But if you don't give yourself as a human more pressure, then you're not going to flourish. So what? You're in year four. You just moved into the new space. You just had your kickoff meeting for the 2023 Furnished in November. What is in the future ahead? Where do you see this thing going? I don't know. I mean, is it growing in Charlotte? Is there so much capacity in Charlotte that you can just explode here?
There's so much need here. But we're trying to be very careful and continue to serve well. So we didn't want to be a numbers game. I mean, we could move furniture into people's houses all day long.
Love it.
If we had the furniture in the capabilities and manpower. But we wanted to be able to serve well, and the part of it is the dignity piece and for people to be able to choose their own furnishings. So if we take time to do that and to do it well, then it just takes a little bit more time for, you know, people to come in or for them to choose their furnishings, for them to be delivered. And so we may not be like crazy growth. We'll still grow. We'll still work with different partnering agencies. We're up to 31 partnering agencies in Charlotte. So we're still serving well and growing, just we're making sure that we are doing it
quality over quantity, right?
Yeah.
Quality over quantity. And 31 partnerships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a huge demand in Charlotte. I mean, we've always said that, you know, it's sad, but we'll never go out of business. You know, it's just, I think it's going to continue. Our relationships will continue to grow. I think the need will continue to grow. But I feel like we're really making a dent, and I think if we can all come together, I mean, you know, corporations, other agencies, other nonprofits, if we can all get together, we can really do something about this and keep it in control, and hopefully maybe we'll be the first city in the United States that doesn't have a homeless population. I mean, a problem.
Amen. So. I agree. I mean, your vision is to put yourself out of business.
Yeah.
And I think you have to look at it like if you can make Leonard continue to find excitement and happiness about improving his life and finding ownership and empowerment, then Leonard has friends that might have been homeless or homeless, and he goes and helps them, and the flywheel reciprocates. I got a question for you. When somebody that is homeless, how do they find out they get referred to an agency generally? And then they sign up to come on a shopping trip?
We have an amazing programs coordinator, Elizabeth, that started working with us over a year ago. And so she is in contact with all of our partnering agencies and their social workers. Some may have one, some may have 40. I mean, it just depends on, but anyway, parts of those. And she makes the appointments, and then they have the clients that we are working with, so they make the referral for the furniture. And, you know, we started with in-person, and then COVID hit and we had to pivot. So we've been doing an online store. So we hope to bring back in-person soon. It just takes some planning to make that all work. But we've still been able to provide the shopping experience by choice for folks. It's just looked a different way.
Reflect on that for a second. You started this 4 years ago. COVID took off. You had momentum. COVID comes 3 years ago. The world, I honestly thought it was going to be 09 for our business again, where we skirted by barely.
Yeah.
We were met every single day planning to fight our business's death, really.
Right.
I can't imagine being a one-year-old business and never doing this and being a bootstrap. I can't imagine. And it's all in person.
Well, it was, I mean, March 2020, we dug deep and we said, what are we going to do? And I have this phrase, paralysis by analysis. And I was like, y'all, no paralysis by analysis. We're going to send, you know, a Dropbox of tables to the social worker and then have their client email us back which table they like. I mean, it was very, very
time consuming,
but it worked, and it still gave our clients a choice. Now our store has evolved into a much more sophisticated system, but you know, we were 6 months in and we kind of had a choice to make. We had rent to pay, and we just said, you know, we're going to find a way to make this work. And we did. And it, you know, I do think we have not sat back and really said, oh my gosh, not only did we do this, we survived during COVID, we all still like each other, we think Leslie works too hard, but other than that, that's the only cat fight in the building, is that she won't sit still. But it's I had to throw that in there, because that's it. But you know, we were supposed to go to dinner last week, the three of us, and we have yet to sit back and say, oh my gosh, we were told we couldn't do this, and we did it, and we're doing it well, and now we just have to sustain this awesome thing that we've built. So I'm so lucky to have met these ladies, because I didn't know them before this.
Yeah, and we've served over 1,200 people. We've kept over 10,000 items out of landfills. You know, our donors continue to grow the more they hear about us, and it's, I mean,
the green component, I mean, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we didn't
totally talk
about that.
Oh, let's talk about that.
Well, hold on. We got to go pay some bills. Okay. I'll tell you what. We went long on this segment, but we're going to have y'all back for a few more minutes on the last segment. We'll just do it. I want to hear about the green component. You're listening to At Home with Roby, our guest, Furnish for Good.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. If you've missed the last three segments, you got to go back and listen. We're here with the ladies from Furnish for Good. Trent, you were having a wonderful conversation with them, and I got to sit back and reflect a little bit and really pay attention. But the we always talk about business lessons on this show and what you can learn as an entrepreneur. And there are so many examples that you all gave: grit, getting through COVID, pivoting, trying to go from in person to online, making extra rent payments or increase rent to try to continue to grow. All these things. I mean, they're entrepreneurs.
Duh. I mean, we're sharing a mic, so I actually about did the intro about a couple months ago when Pat is like this. I took over. I know all y'all want me to come back and do it. If you're listening to this fourth segment, you heard us on the first segment. These wonderful, wonderful, so kind women were trying to eliminate our first segment.
We were going to get fired.
They said, just erase that first segment. It was hogwash. But we're keeping it. But they are here now. So I want to know a little bit about the green component, because that is a fringe benefit that could be, if that was the only component, we'd have a radio show, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about it. Go ahead, Leslie.
So we provide gently used furnishings. So we need gently used furnishings. So everything from your from your sofa to your pots and pans. So, we put together an essential package and that the clients choose from, and we take donations, put all these things together, and that's what we need to make this be able to happen. 4 to 6 moves a week for 4 to 6 families a week. So it requires lots of donations of goods. We also take new stuff if anybody wants to buy anything. We have wish list on our website.
Really?
For small things, but people can drop things off. Yeah.
So what is your website? How can people donate? How can people buy new stuff? How can people donate money?
Okay. Well, I'll talk about the stuff, and then Mary Beth can talk about the money. Furnishforgood.org, and you click on Donate Furnishings. It comes up a little link where you can pick drop off or have it picked up. Yes, we pick up. We have a moving team of 2 great guys, and so you fill out a little information, upload your pictures so that we can make sure, that we can use them, that they're right for our families. And then our guys schedule pickups. So it's pretty easy. And yeah.
And I'll say one other thing about the green component. So we have this amazing volunteer, Lynn Sidlowski, who's been volunteering with us since day one. And she is very, very handy. And she also throws nothing away. So if you want to throw something away, you have to either run it down to the dumpster, put it in your car, and then take it home to throw away. But she is so just amazing. She does not throw anything away. She even takes, if we get a big dining room table that has a leaf in the middle and it's too large for our space, she takes the leaf out and makes a coffee table out of that leaf. So it is unbelievable what we reuse and recycle. I mean, down to light bulbs that come in. They're tested. If they work, we wrap them in bubble wrap, and then they get sent out with people's new lamps.
That is awesome. That is really cool. Mary Beth, tell us about how someone can donate money.
So, again, on our website, furnishforgood.org, there is a donate button that you can push. You can put any amount that you want. We do look for financial donations because we do buy mattresses and bed frames, and together that costs us about $200 per bed that goes out. And we absorb all that cost. So, and most of our families, 80% of our families need bedding. So they go out with almost every single move. But you're welcome to give us as much or as little as you'd like. We're not picky. But, it's important for us to raise money on our own. It is a business. We do pay rent. We do have employees that we have to pay. We have, diesel that we have to put in our trucks, just like a regular business. So
yeah, no shame. And it is tax deductible, correct?
It is all tax deductible.
There you go. Awesome. Yeah. furnishforgood.org. Leslie, Priscilla, Mary Beth, thank y'all so much. Thank y'all for being here and just being so fun. But most importantly, thank y'all for what y'all are doing just to try to help the world and make it a better place, especially Charlotte, which is home. So thanks for listening to At Home with Roby. I'm glad Patrick could be with me today. Furnish for Good. Check it out, furnishforgood.org. Hey, go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around.